Welcome everyone into the B Section Podcast, brought to you by the Morning Times and the Daily Review. I'm Kirk Loveson. With me today is Logan and David, and we are into the fun part of the spring sports season, our last sports season of the calendar sports year in high school around the Valley and in the Daily Review coverage area. Guys, catch me up. I know we're coming down the home stretch here and things are about to get really exciting, but before we get into that, let's kind of wrap up where we were from last week. Talk to me about what's been going on in the Daily Review area of things, Logan.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit two major games that I saw over the last week, and then we have the NTL championships coming up on when you're listening to this Friday. They're Friday afternoon, so that's gonna be a big deal. But baseball wise, the games that stuck out last week, we were sitting in here and we were talking about home runs that we've seen, and I was like, I haven't seen too many. Yeah, well, I saw a grand slam later that day.
There we go. They listened.
Canton and Troy, both near the top of the NTL standings. They're in the big and the small school, but both still really winning records near the top of the standings, rivals, right? Canton and Troy. And it was a good game. I started at softball and then I bounced over to baseball. Troy was up 4-1. And then Canton loads up the bases. Holden Ward comes up to the plate. I think if it wasn't the first pitch, it was the second pitch. Grand slam over the fence. Canton now leads 5-4. They eventually go up 9-4 and they would need it because in the top of the seventh inning, Troy rattles off 4 runs. It's 9-8. I think they have the bases loaded still with the chance to tie or win the game. They can't get it. Canton Zach Colton, who's kind of been in their closer role this year, comes out after a mound visit, 3 straight strikes to end the game. So that was last Wednesday. That was a great game. Probably one of the more exciting back and forth ones with big moments that I've seen so far. Other than that, I had Troy and Tawanda last Friday. Troy baseball won. Troy softball used, I think, 3 or 4 home runs in that game to beat Tawanda softball. They played again on Monday. Same results. Troy baseball and softball won. Troy baseball gets the better of NEB on Tuesday. I think the final was 17-1. I think it was 7 or 10 runs in the second inning, and that just opened it wide open for them. NEB and Troy softball was a good game. It was back and forth. NEB led early. Troy uses one inning to come back and lead. NEB hits a home run to take the lead back. And
that's
then
a good
Troy
one.
Troy ended up winning that 10-7, so they just held on for the win at home. They kind of have a small ballpark, so a little bit of a home run derby when you get out there and the weather's right. But the last game I'm going to hit is while losing Athens baseball. That was yesterday. They were finishing. That was Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Jeez Louise. My days of the week, you can ask David, have been off for...
And we're recording a day later, too.
Yeah, I think that's what threw me off.
Everything's thrown off.
I caught it in the story. I was like, hey, just so you know, I think today is Wednesday.
Yeah, I wrote Tuesday and was just going to roll with it. That's what kind of week this week has been. Wyalusing in Athens, they had to finish a game that had been postponed because of thunderstorms. They had 3 innings left to play. Wyalusing was up 7-0 when it got suspended. They win that game 8-5. So Athens tried to make a comeback out of it, but wasn't able to get all the way back. The second game was starting to go the same way. Wyalusing led 3-0 early, and then it was 3-3. And then Wyalusing used a 4-run inning to go up 7-3. Well, Athens didn't go away. They got a couple of homers, and they just clawed their way back, ended up coming all the way back to take an 8-7 lead, where freshman Duncan Thetgood comes out and really just shuts him down in the seventh inning, uses his defense, relies on his defense, and they win it at home 8-7. They have 3 games left, and if they win all 3, they make the postseason. So that's kind of where their focus is right now. Other than that, I'll turn it to David, and then we'll come back with talk NTL championship.
Yeah, talk about what we got in the Valley, David.
Waverly Flag Football in its first ever season has made the postseason. They did so last night with a big win over Shenango Forks. Last week, I went to their game against the best team in Section 4, Owego, and Owego won that game 34-12. It was the first time Waverly Flag Football had, they weren't the better team in the game. Kylie Griffin, the Owego quarterback, threw for, 300 yards or something like that. She looked, for real. I was just kind of on the field, and Joey Tommaso was walking by, and someone made the joke. So it was like, you're not even the best quarterback in the stadium right now. Waverly baseball, I went and saw them play Owego the next day in a big Stack Central matchup, and that was for first place in the division because Owego had beaten them a couple days earlier to take over first place by a half a game, and Waverly's game just did not start out well. They're down 8-0 in the first inning, and they made a game of it. They got the potential game-tying run up to the plate at one point during it, but they would lose 10-6. They just couldn't dig out of that hole, and Owego would beat them once more later in the week. for a 3-game sweep of Waverly and kind of cost Waverly his chance at the Stack Central division. So they had a little bit of a tough week. Where else was I? I was at Athens softball on Monday. They gave a good game to Danville. They're down 4-0, and then the bottom of the sixth scored 4 runs to tie it, make it 4-4, but they kind of got, I don't know what the term is, dinked and dunked in the top of the seventh, just okay. Balls falling in the wrong place. Yeah. Some bad luck that Danville was able to scratch home a run in the top of the seventh, and Athens couldn't make an extra comeback in the bottom of the seventh, but Athens softball had a big win against Bayou losing yesterday as well. So they, I think they're 10-8 right now this season. Okay. So it's been a good season for Athens softball. And Tuesday, I was at Tioga Baseball against Marathon. They won that game 15-6. Luke Powell had a good day on the mound there. They had the top five guys in that lineup were, 13 of 18 for 11 RBIs in the game. So they carried
good day.
Shout out to Luke Powell, who's not only a good starting pitcher for them in that game, he has a pencil bat. His bat is designed like a pencil. You remember Players Weekend in Major League Baseball a few years ago?
I was going to say they let him use it.
Like someone had, maybe Rhys Hoskins of the Phillies might have had it. Somebody had
always
it.
Always comes back, Kirk.
No, I know. I get it. But I'm just like, they had multiple people had like these.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, who it actually was Bryson Stott of the Phillies had a pencil bat. This is why it reminded me of it. But it was just funny because a high school player had a legitimate, his legitimate bat was a pencil.
Yeah, it's funny they let him use it.
Yeah. And actually, I heard the first base coach say to the Marathon first baseman, I don't even like that bat. And then Powell hits a double with it. It's like, it's a number two pencil, baby. Number two, double. Tioga Baseball on Friday, tomorrow, is in the IAC small school.
Today, yes. When you're listening to
yes.
this.
The IAC small school.
One day we'll get that right. Yeah. Sorry.
The IAC small school championship against Union Springs. Union Springs beat them 2-0 earlier this year, and it was the one time all season that Tioga baseball's offense couldn't get going. But otherwise, Tioga has been pretty on fire with their bats. They actually, Tioga baseball got crushed by Notre Dame, who's in the large school championship yesterday, 24-7. So that's a game they're going to want to forget with 7 errors. But Tioga baseball, if their bats are a little more alive than they were against Union Springs the first time around, maybe they might have an interesting championship game there.
All right, good luck to those boys.
Tioga softball, I am, right after this podcast ends, after we stop recording this, I'll be on my way up to Wells College in Aurora, New York for Tioga softball and their IAC small school championship, also against Union Springs.
Yeah, so if you haven't got your paper yet today, go out and get one because David will have coverage on Tioga's IAC championship game, softball.
Barring the rain.
Barring the wave.
Yeah, so we'll see how today goes, but they're trying to get the game in, and if the game is in, I'll be there to cover it. So Union Springs has beaten Tioga in this small school championship each of the last 2 years, 8-0 and 2-0.
Okay.
But these two teams played each other earlier this year, and Union Springs won 13-11 in a high-scoring game. Now, that game's interesting because Union Springs was up 10-2 after 2 innings, and then Tioga just must have stormed back somehow. But I'm very interested to see how this game plays out because Tioga's offense, and I was just mentioning about the baseball team, but the Tioga softball offense is absolutely electric. Ryan Fico, who, shout out to her, had a 5-inning no-hitter with just 1 walk against New York Valley earlier this week.
Awesome.
She also hit a home run in that game. Before that, a few games before that, she had a streak of 13 hits and 13 straight at-bats. So, very good leadoff hitter for them. But they have a very strong lineup, and after the last 2 years of being shut out in this same game against Union Springs, I'm very curious to see how this one goes because they scored 11 against them and actually out-hit Union Springs in that game earlier this season. So
we got a Tioga Union Springs race to the finish.
Yeah.
Both baseball and softball. So should be good. If that's it for the recap, you guys talk to me a little bit about the NTL championships we got coming up.
Yep, so that's going to be today, Friday, when this comes out.
At Athens.
Yep, it's at Athens for the second year, potentially more. I've been here 2 years. Both years it's been at Athens so far. And last year it was a beautiful, hot, sunny day, like too hot almost. I was in shorts and a polo, and I was like, yep, didn't pack any sunscreen. This is going to be bad. It looks like it's supposed to be a little
cooler,
and maybe a little bit more rainy this time around. But it's all the NTL teams getting together. A quick side note before, I was just making a list here of some of the names that jumped out from this season. I don't know if it's because we have listeners or maybe it was some other reference I didn't get, but talking to one of the Athens coaches, baseball coaches last week when they played down at Towanda, he said something to me about like finally getting a game without rain. And I was like, yeah. And I didn't think about it. Maybe very related to
maybe
us.
People are listening. Hey, so hey, we appreciate it.
Shout out to you guys. Yeah. I'm not going to butcher the name because off the top of my, I know who it is, but I,
there's
off
a
the
bunch
top of my head,
there's
the
a bunch of
coach
people
pods. I think they call him, but it's longer.
There's a bunch of people right now saying, where's our weather report?
Yeah. Right. So it's supposed to rain the rest of the week. It's been beautiful so far, but, yeah, the NTL championships, Athens girls team and Troy's boys team, I guess if would be like the favorites. They're probably the ones that are expected to come out on the top on each team. Class, each side.
Yeah.
I just was going through and trying to pull some names that I remember writing a bunch this year from all the different schools and some people to keep an eye out for. You go toe-to-toe with the best of the league. Williamson will also be there. Wellsboro will also be there. We don't cover those schools as formally as in-depth as we cover most of these Bradford County schools. But for Wyalusing, the names that jumped out were Olivia Haley, which that could be in the 100, the 200, the 400, any of those shorter sprint races. Mia Wilcox has done well, I believe, in the pole vault this year. So that's a name I remember writing a decent amount. And then Dylan Johns in the high jump on the boys' side is a name that jumped out. Just these was just off the top of my head because I mean, it's going to be everybody in the NTL. So, I mean, who you think might be good just based on different tri meets, like they might not stack up because they never went against this person this year. But for Towanda, Michael Ferulli has been good in that 100. I think the 100, 200 range. I think he also does the high jump and the long jump. So, but throughout the year, these kids mix up which events they do. They have their ones that they stick to. But that was a name that jumped out. Caitlin Bloxall and her brother, I want to say his name is Aiden. Various Farrell has been doing all the throwing events this year. And pretty much if he's not first, he's second in a given meet. So that's another name that stuck out. Canton, I pulled a bunch. Kendall Kitchen's kind of been in a class of her own with the pole vault this year. Probably, I would say, the top of the league, the best pole vaulter that the league has. That's what I would say. Now, anything could change, right?
Sure.
But she just kind of every meet she's been in this year has been first and with some room to give.
Nice.
So besides her, Alexis McRoberts has been killing the throwing events for Canton this year. Also doing the hurdles. I think she just broke a record. I'm pretty sure it was the discus. I think it was a school record that was a couple weeks back. Davian Crowley, any of those sprint events, the 100, the 200, the 400. And then on the boys' side, Lawrence Halbforster. I hope I pronounced that halfway decent. It's one of those names, interesting spelling. And it's once you spell it once, it's like you just remember it because it's so abnormal. And then the other name that jumped out to me on Canton was Wyatt Karpinski. Those throwing events, he's kind of been near the top in all the meets he's been in. Troy, Jacob Hinman, Colin Loveland, Ben Warburton, and Avery Sens all came to mind. They're all on the boys' team, and they've all kind of been first or second in every meet they've been in so far. On the girls' side, and Alyssa Parks has been doing well in the pole vault and also, I believe, the 300 hurdles more so recently. So when I do my roundups for track, I typically, if it's not invitational, I do first through fifth. But for just the dual meets and the tri meets, I typically stick to first through third. So these are just names I remember writing.
Seeing in those
five or six times so far this year. So then just lastly, the three that jumped out to me for Northeast Bradford was Grayson Loudermilk, who kind of has a friendly rivalry, I guess, with Athens Sarah Bronson in those long distance running events. It's really, if they're in a meet together, they're there.
Keep a lookout for
it. That was on the girls' side. And then Creed Dewing and Aiden Capper have kind of always been near the top of the table on the boys' side for the Panthers this year. So that was almost just a word salad, I guess. But
no,
those are going to be, if you're attending the NTL
championship.
Yeah,
if you're turning out today for the championship.
Those are going to be names to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
Those have been people that have been athletes that have kind of been near the top of the cream of the crop, so to speak,
throughout
this season. Yeah. So they're going to be someone to keep an eye on. I left Athens and Sarah open
for you, though. I was hoping you would.
Give us some shout outs, David.
Well, you mentioned Sarah Bronson already. Yep. She's just the peak of distance running for the NTL. So she's going to be a favorite for the 1632. I don't know exactly all the events she'll be in, but she's going to be up there for sure. There's also Ava Hughes. That's a distance runner for Athens. Bronson is usually ahead of most of the time, but she's always up there in the placings.
I expect if her and if Sarah Bronson and Grayson Loudermilk both run the, whether it's the 1600 or the 3200, I expect that to be a very, very competitive race.
Yeah.
And North Penn Mansfield also has, Mansfield when it comes to track, but has some very good distance runners too, because I was going through a meet that they were in. So they should make some noise. Williamson has good runners. So
yeah, so keep an eye out on those long distance events.
The name just slipped my mind as soon as I was about to say it out loud. But Abby Burgess is a very good sprinter for Athens Girls. She's won 100, 200, and 400 multiple times this year. And I looked at last year's Logan story from last year's NTL Championships.
Did you like it?
It was fine.
That's fine.
Burgess, I believe she won at least two of the events at the NTL Championships last year, if not all three. I forget exactly. But she's obviously going to be a favorite tomorrow. Or today, as you listen to this.
We'll work on that for the future.
We will.
We'll have it for you by the fall.
Traveling, right, yeah.
Emma Pernicelli in the field for Athens Girls. She is a top thrower for discus and shot put and javelin. So she'll be up there as well. For the boys' side, for Athens, Graham Wank is also a very good distance runner for them. They have, Brandon Comstock, a big thrower for Athens boys as well. Jace Babcock in the jumping events has always been up there as well.
Okay.
Sarah, they don't have as big of a team as other schools in the NTL, but they have two very big standouts. And Marco Quiros, we'll see at this event, he might be the best sprinter in the NTL. He is a 100 and 200. He's winning all the events that I see him in.
Awesome.
And Rose Shikanga, who I believe won a hurdle or one or two of the hurdle events at NTL Championships last year. She's a junior this year for Sarah. She's going to be right up there for the hurdle event as well.
Okay. So if to do today.
And well, there's obviously some names we missed and some other top spots we missed. Those were just some of the people that jumped out while we didn't go through every result to figure this out. So if we didn't mention you and you think you got slighted, you didn't get slighted. Those were some of the names that stuck out and maybe you'll prove us all
wrong today.
And then we'll be writing the story. Absolutely. About
you'll get the coverage if you get there.
So. Great opportunity to make us look foolish. But if you don't got anything going on today, and even if you do, please get out and try to support your community at some point. Get to these NTL championships. Look for Logan and David's coverage of the postseason with baseball, softball, track, you name it. They got you covered. Both the Morning Times and the Daily Review. Please subscribe if you haven't. We appreciate your support. And, of course, thank you for listening. Let's get into some NBA. Where to start? When we recorded last week, we talked about Logan's Lakers being eliminated. Since then, David's Sixers have been eliminated. David, real quick, just a roundup where the Sixers are at now. Going into the offseason, then we'll get to the current.
I thought about this last night. We're going to give you 76 seconds to talk about
All right. You're on the clock. Shot clock. I love it.
Oh, this is going to go terribly then.
All right, go.
I'm not as mad as I've been about the Sixers getting eliminated in the playoffs as I've been in years past. I don't think anyone... there are Sixers fans who are just fed up with how this era has gone, and I get it. But no one could really... really, truly say that they're going to make a finals run this year with Embiid being as injured as he was. And the supporting cast just wasn't what it was supposed to be or what you wanted to be for a championship team. The only guys I really care about returning outside of them being Maxey, which are the obvious things. I'm really happy with that being the duo moving forward. I want Batum to come back because he's just a great veteran presence. Kelly Oubre has an infectious energy. Everybody else can go. Tobias Harris, the contract is over. The worst contract in Sixers history is over. They have a lot of room to maybe go get like a Paul George or something. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but they need to find... This is the most important Daryl Morey offseason of his Sixers tenure. He needs to find a legitimate third star that Maxey isn't exactly supposed to be the number two guy. It'd be great if he is, but they need a third guy there. And also just an overall more supportive cast for Joel Embiid. And I don't know. I think we might only have a couple years for the Sixers to really have a window. Where are we at here? Are we done?
And that's time.
Okay. But
that was good.
That was good.
That was efficient. Right?
It wasn't bad.
That was really good.
But overall,
yeah,
it stunk. I hate that they lost the Knicks, but
It is what it is. So I have a question, and it was about one of the last things you said, and it was about getting a third star, which I agree with. They need another main person. But and maybe I am misremembering wrong. Didn't you try to make a case for Maxey being like a fringe top 10 player in here last week?
Well,
and now you're saying he's not even really supposed to be the second star.
Well, he isn't supposed to be.
Okay.
He kind of turned into. Okay. And where he is right now with his development, I mean, he's the most improved player in the NBA. I'm very optimistic about Maxey's career and his future being maybe by the end of it, one of the best Sixers ever, the way it's going. But it's clear that Maxey and Embiid isn't, if it's just those two guys and nobody else, it's not going to be a championship. They need somebody else in there. And even at worst, they need reliable bench players.
LeBron?
I was going to say, last question, then we move on. And it's just real quick, right to your head, David. Who is the third guy you think they get in the offseason?
I think it's Paul George.
Okay.
I think it's Paul George, and I
have this weird vision of DeMar DeRozan being a 76er.
I don't hate that either. And Paul George isn't what he used to be, but just a veteran who is still
kind of fits the middle ground of those two also.
Anybody that has been a superstar level is going to be a better third option than Tobias Harris.
Okay.
So
Jimmy Butler, you want him back?
At first, when I saw that name come up, I'm like, no way. He's like 35 years old.
It's true.
But if that was me thinking it was a signing, it's going to have to be a trade if it happens. And if you give them, if there's an outlet out there where you give up some assets to get him, there's probably a world where I don't mind it. But the age thing does scare me.
I think George is the best player. I think DeRozan's the best fit.
Both. Not spring chickens in terms of NBA
No, but that's what you're going to have available.
That's the biggest problem with what the Sixers are right now. Is they need someone to come up and be a third option. And
it'll end up being Zach LaVine.
Oh, my God, that'd be terrible. But it's like nobody is young and in their prime. That's an option right now. It's kind of odd.
All right, round two, rapid fire, because I do want to do a draft before we get everyone out of here. And I know David's got to get on the road for the softball IAC. Biggest takeaway from the Knicks-Pacers series so far. I said in the script we got in front of us, game two, let's just do so far because I think it is kind of similar overall. Is it the non-calls for you guys?
It took 8 games. I'm out on the New York
Knicks. You're out.
I'm out.
What do you hate?
That was a world-class snafu in officiating in game one. And I'm not even talking about the illegal screen. I'm talking about the kicked ball that was so clearly not a kicked ball. It was a steal with his hand.
So you're out on the Knicks or you're out on the officiating?
I'm out on the...
Because I'm not sure what... all these people are screaming at the Knicks for the fouls.
That's a fair point. The officials are the ones that call them, not the Knicks. I think where I start to gripe is everyone's like, oh, those hard-nosed Knicks, and they're just letting them do these crazy things and get away with things. Like, it feels like the officials are in the Knicks' back pocket, and at the same time, the Knicks are like, look at us, we're getting it out the mud.
They have 6 guys.
I hear that.
They have 6 guys. Josh Hart is 6'4".
He played 48 minutes last night.
He's played 4 games where he's played every minute and is averaging a double-double, and he's 6'4" on a 6-man rotation.
They're fun. I think the thumb might be on the scales a little bit for them from the league.
Okay.
That's my take.
David?
Well, wasn't there one play in game one, and I'm not going to sit here and say I watched any of these games, but there was a replay of, I can't remember the 2 players exactly, but there was a Knick that ran into a Pacer at the rim, and it was called a foul, and the Knicks challenged it, and they overturned it. And I don't know how they overturned it, because they like smacked into each other, and it looked like a pretty obvious foul to me. Anyway, I'm a little bitter that they did the whole they called the double dribble on the Knicks and then immediately reversed it in game 2. Like, so you can immediately reverse the call there to make it the right call, but just for the Knicks and not for the Pacers or the Sixers over the last 2 series. So part of me is very bitter about the Knicks.
The
right
Pacers,
now.
I don't know if you guys saw, they submitted today
70 plays.
70 Jeez. Plays that were non-calls. So should the Knicks also sit down now and go through and nitpick every call for them for the whole game as well? And maybe we can get it somewhere 60-40 and like do this the whole series. This is what the playoffs are turning into. It's every game. We're submitting calls. We're getting mad because we lost.
If the Knicks were smart, they would.
What I can't figure out is, and this is a much larger problem for the NBA, is the officiating problem. the word that comes to mind is competency, but that's not the word I'm really looking for. Just the trustworthiness of the officials to go out there and do a good job. And everybody thinks sports are rigged, right? Everybody thinks the officials are getting paid somewhere off the books, right? That's just what comes to fruition. It is weird, though, how many close games these Knicks have played that seem to swing one way or another on a call. And that's not the Knicks' fault. It's not. No. And well, they shouldn't not benefit from it if it goes their way, but it's just like...
It gets weird when it's the New York team. Here's the reality.
Here's the reality. If it is something like that, we should thank the officials because nobody's trying to watch Indiana in the conference finals or the NBA finals. If you want ratings, people invested, and eyes on the TV,
and that's
you
want
New
right
York
there.
Versus Boston.
That's the argument right there.
It's just the truth.
So, but no, Brunson has been unconscious. I put a story in the paper the other day about he's done something that only Michael Jordan has done before. So anytime you're in that company, it's otherworldly. And that I don't want the officiating woes to overshadow how special Brunson's been. And you're right. They do only have six players, really. But it's the same argument, right? It's the Brunson. Oh, he plays like Trae Young. I'm sure it drove David crazy for six games. Just we talk about the officiating. Well, then Brunson's also kind of a wizard or a master at going and making sure he gets his calls and gets to the free throw line.
Trae Young drove me crazy for seven games three years ago.
Yeah, the officiating's not what's making Brunson with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left hit threes from 35 foot to ice the game. Like there's a whole bunch of this to it.
Yeah.
But you might say, oh, I wouldn't mind. I'm telling you, the ratings will be an all-time low if it's the Timberwolves versus the Pacers in the NBA Finals.
Speaking for myself, I always kind of like when it's the weird teams that don't get the ratings because it's just fun to see new things happen. Granted, the Knicks being
New York versus
new.
Boston will be insane.
I would like to see New York versus Boston.
I hate both teams so much.
Boston at six.
I would say five.
Well, let's take us right to our next part. Is anyone a contender to Boston? Can anyone beat them four times in a series?
Not in the East.
Not in the East.
Not in the East. I think maybe Heat.
Maybe.
Maybe three teams in the West.
Okay, really?
I think Boston's good. I think the West is just that much better. Okay. And that's not just me being like, oh, I like the Lakers. But
so Thunder, T-Wolves, Denver?
That's probably who I would say. And if it's not Denver, maybe the Mavericks.
And we've seen Denver
Luka,
do it.
If Luka and Kyrie just are on another level.
We've seen Denver be Boston's kryptonite a little bit.
Game two of Denver-Minnesota was the first time I'm like, oh my God, Minnesota is real. Like the Timberwolves are like, I hadn't watched them.
That was game two of the first round for me. Like, I knew they were good all year. Yeah. You have Karl Anthony Towns, you have Rudy Gobert, and then what Anthony Edwards has become this season, if he wasn't already. But yeah, they're kicking butt and taking names.
They didn't have the defensive player of the year, and they still
sweep
stonewalled.
They stole two in Denver.
I think Probably Denver not. Gets at least one.
No way, right? No, they, no way.
Which
Denver
feels weird to say.
Yeah. Gets swept.
It's the wheels are kind of coming off the bus, like with the whole Jamal Murray pack thing. Now he's not going to be suspended or anything, but it's like you've gotten under their skin, right? So
this is the first,
and I think Anthony Edwards likes being there.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
this is the first adversity the Nuggets have faced since their championship run. So
we'll see what they're made of.
What they're actually made out of.
That leaves us with Thunder, ho-hum, number one seed, haven't lost, no one talks about them. Are they a real championship threat?
Yes.
Okay.
In the field that we're currently looking at, right? If they handle the Mavericks, who have one of the league's, I'll say, top three most polarizing players right now in Luka Doncic.
Who hasn't been very good.
That's what I'm saying. If they just make him look mortal and just kind of... like roll through that series, then it should be a heavyweight fight, whoever they get on the other side, whether that's Minnesota, right? They're probably the favorite to get there, or Denver, right? So Denver, OKC, or Minnesota, anybody, and that should be a really exciting conference finals, however it lines up, even if the Mavericks make it. But I'm sorry, what was the original question? OKC?
Can the Thunder win the title?
I think so, yes, because I think that if they get to the finals and they match up with a Boston, I think they match up well.
Okay.
I think Chet Holmgren is a really big X factor, how dynamic he is, how young he is.
SGA second feet. In the MVP voting. Also, Nikola Jokic, MVP. Congrats.
Yeah.
Probably deserves it.
Yeah.
Although Shaq claims he's the best player in the world, but SGA is the MVP.
That was so weird. It's like
so congrats, how do we define the MVP anymore? Should we just call it player of the year?
I think your team's finish should have something to do with it. So, like, in Shea's case, they were the top seed in the West.
Yeah.
So, but...
And if it really is the most valuable player to your team, if you took Jalen Brunson off the Knicks, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. They got to call it... I think you just got to change it to player of the year.
Yeah, do it like college. It should be the best... the most outstanding player, yeah. Right? It should be the best player on the best team because they were the best player.
All right, really? And then we're going to do a little draft. Through the four series left... Give me your winners. Let's start Knicks Pacers. I'm obviously going to take the Knicks, David. They finish them off, or Pacers make a little comeback.
Maybe the Pacers get two games, but Knicks win the series.
Yeah, give me Knicks. Already being up 2-0 makes a big difference.
I think we can all just Boston.
Yep.
I did watch that whole Magic Cavs game 7. Yeah. It was entertaining.
All right.
Gamble responsibly, hit a 5-leg parlay.
Love it.
It felt awesome.
That's got to
feel
great.
Awesome. Evan Mobley double-double came down to literally the last 40 seconds.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What a sweat.
I literally screamed in my apartment. It was awesome.
I wish I was there.
Yeah.
Thunder, Mavs.
I think that second game's Thursday
does
night.
Does Luka
right?
get it together and this becomes a series?
I haven't watched the Thunder to really... So like I was saying, like I just bought into the Timberwolves the other day.
Okay.
It's because I haven't really watched the Western Conference.
He doesn't like to stay up too late. I get it.
I'm up late all the time.
Then why aren't you on this West Coast basketball?
I am up till like 2 in the morning every freaking night. So I'll give... In that sense, I'll give the Thunder the benefit of the doubt and think they are a legitimate number one team. Okay.
This is the one where I'm going to go out. I'm going to take a detour here. I think Kyrie and Luka figure it out. This Thunder team's a year away,
yeah,
and the Mavs get them.
But that's kind of where my head's sort of at, but that's why I'm giving the Thunder the benefit of the doubt. It's because Luka and Kyrie, when they're playing extremely well, it's so fun.
They're good.
Give me Thunder in 7.
Okay.
Like, I just think it's going to end up being a very entertaining series because that's the way the Clippers-Mavs series went, is the Clippers got them one game, Mavericks came back and figured it out the next game. So I don't think this series is anywhere close to over, which I guess isn't much of a statement to say.
How about our final series? Is Denver, Minnesota over?
Effectively, yes.
I think Minnesota wins in no less than 6 games.
I think it's T-Wolves in 6. The fact that they did that in Denver without Gobert, that's not a good sign. Something's falling. Like you said, one of the wheels is really loose right now, and something's about to go.
Well, the Jamal Murray injury is not...
Yeah, he's playing hurt.
Yeah.
So the worst part about all of this, and this will be my closing thought on NBA Talk, is the worst part about all of this and how the Minnesota-Denver series is playing out is people are going, well, how bad are the Lakers? So,
it's not helping. Great,
but.
All right, let's do a quick draft. Point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, old-fashioned starting 5. But you must choose from the pool of players still left playing in the playoffs. And at the end, Logan, write these down for all of us. And at the end, we'll decide whose team's, the best balanced.
Are we going to go snake?
Yes, we're going to go snake. And because my team's the only team left in it, I pick last and first the next time back through. David, you were the second to go out, so you'll pick first. Logan, you're in the middle because the Lakers went out first.
That works for me.
So you pick first.
Okay, I just understood the logic of that.
Yeah.
It took me a minute.
Hopefully our listeners are picked up on it because it was explained not very well. But, all right, your first pick.
Wednesday for everybody.
Thursday for everybody.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, boy, David. We're with it today, boys. All right, first pick. Any position, doesn't have to be in a row.
Nikola Jokic.
Okay. Man.
I don't like saying that.
Embiid's sitting at home going, David, you.
I know.
You.
I know. Make it to the third round, Shea. Man.
You're taking Shea?
Shea.
Oh, are we going to go right down the list here?
So it's now 2 picks to
I'm
you.
Taking Luka.
It's back to you.
And I'm putting Luka at shooting guard?
Okay.
Or you got him at point?
I put him at point, but he can play either spot.
It doesn't matter.
Put him at shooting guard because I'm putting Jalen Brunson at point.
Okay. You left it wide open for me. I will be taking Anthony Edwards.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
2 picks to you, David.
Yeah. I was not prepared for this at all. Jason Tatum.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Now you go again. So you got Tatum at shooting guard and a center, right?
Kyrie Irving.
Oh.
I'm going to lose names in my head by the time we get deeper into this. So this isn't going to go smoothly.
It's my turn again? Who is out there right now? Who is out there in the NBA? The National Basketball Association.
Yeah, we don't have much to choose from.
Give me... I don't know. Give me... I'll go Gobert.
Good. Yeah,
I was gonna go there. My next one,
Gonna have Jokic and Gobert.
It was a thought process in my head. But
I'm gonna take Gobert. Karl Anthony Towns.
I'm gonna have to do some.
Coming back around.
Pick, two pick. Then you have two.
Okay. What positions do I got open?
Center and small forward right now.
Give me OG Anunoby at small forward.
I have both my wing spots open. We will go with, for right now, we'll play, I really want to pick someone from the East. We're going to go with Pascal Siakam.
Oh, all right.
At the Pacer. Power forward. Yep. Easy to forget that he's there.
Yeah.
He got traded from Great Toronto player this too. Season, but he's had some good stretches so far in this postseason. So now it's your final two picks.
I'm going to have to go positionless here because I can't think. Tyrese Haliburton at three.
You already have a small forward.
Okay.
You have power forward and point guard open.
Put him
right
at
now.
The two.
Tyrese is a shooting guard.
Put him at the two.
Okay, well, so you need so I'm sorry. So you need a guard and you need another one.
Put him at the two.
So give me Haliburton at guard. Though.
I like it.
I just wasn't. I don't know.
It's okay.
That leaves you with what? This is your final pick?
Final pick, and you have a forward spot open because you have Jokic.
Oh, this is going to take a minute.
I'll let you think while I talk about Tyrese Haliburton. Only took six shots in game one against the Knicks for 6 points. I'm okay with the 6 points if he shoots like 5 for 20 or something and it just didn't work out, shot terribly. The fact that he only took six shots in a playoff game when you're the guy is unacceptable.
Chet yeah. Holmgren.
No! I needed a center, Dave. Who am I putting at the center? Hartenstein?
He's a power forward on the roster, so.
Yeah, oh, my. Center. Oh, God.
But, no, yeah, that's a tall team. So, my last pick, I need another wing. The one I'd like that comes to mind, which I don't really like. Oh, no. I know exactly who I'm going to take, and you guys are not going to be able to score on us. I'm going to take Jaden McDaniels, Minnesota Timberwolves. He's got Anson Dortmund.
You got
He's
Kevin got Durant, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
As said by Anthony Edwards.
Yep, that's who I was going to take, Jaylen Brown, but I will take Jaden McDaniels.
All right, I'm going to put. I've drafted Karl Anthony Towns.
You're going to have him play center?
I will
center?
Play have him play center, and I will put Miles Turner at power forward.
Okay.
Now that Chet's off the board.
Is that the only one where we took someone else's pick?
Yeah, I really needed a solid center, but I can. My team's versatile.
I don't know. I was so messed up with what positions I had that I couldn't think clearly.
All right.
All right, David's team. Tyrese Haliburton, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Chet Holmgren, and Nikola Jokic.
Solid. It's solid.
Kirk's team. Luka Doncic, Jalen Brunson, interchangeable at the guard spots. Yep. Actually played together in Dallas. It's a shame they broke that up. OG Anunoby, Miles Turner, and Karl Anthony Towns.
The OG Turner thing isn't great, but...
And then my team is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, J.D. McDaniels, Pascal Siakam, and Rudy Gobert.
I think it's David, you, me.
Your team is East dominant. It's the
it's,
only
a, it's
one.
Knicks dominant. Yeah. And I almost took Hartenstein to make it 3 out of 5. Yeah, I think it's David, you, me.
My backcourt is tearing apart, David's backcourt. But he has
Nikola
the
Jokic.
Front court down low is very stout, plus Tatum at the wing spot.
Tatum and Jokic on the same team is tough. All right, let's go baseball and then get the heck out of here. How's everyone's team doing? Phillies are dominating.
I hear people ragging on the Phillies like they haven't played anybody.
Oh, interesting.
That is very much the case on social media. Hey, anybody?
Is it the case in real life?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But the thing is, everybody in this room, every Major League Baseball fan, would be thrilled to have a 700 winning percentage against all these teams. Like, that's how you want to have a 700 winning percentage against teams that you are far better than.
So, all you can do is play your schedule. Yeah,
exactly.
Too,
so. And everybody else, and a couple of years ago, baseball made it so that everybody is playing basically the same schedule. So
it'll all
they're
work,
all going to get the
out.
Same.
People There's say, 162
it's like,
of these
things. Like, yes. Oh, the Phillies have a weak schedule. You're going to have the same schedule a month or two from now. So, like, it's as what it is. And, like, the Phillies in years past will go, like, 500 against these teams, and that's what made it so hard for them to get into playoffs and stuff. So,
in good spot.
Everything is has. They lost their 7-game winning streak yesterday on Wednesday, but before that, everything was going pretty smoothly for the Phillies, hitting and pitching. And Trey Turner's out for 6 weeks, which stinks. But the minute he was out, they still kept winning. Yeah. So
Orioles.
I'm not sure where we left off. Jackson Holliday sent back down. Yeah. I don't know if I touched that last week, but back down in Norfolk. It sounds like he's in a little bit of a slump there, but that is what it is. He'll figure it out. He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Craig Kimbrel experience has
not been good.
No, I haven't been super tuned in. It's hard to watch the O's up here. You got to have Masson to watch a lot of their games, but he's been, it sounds like they're running him a lot and the results have not exactly been great. So people are souring on Kimbrel already. And but as far as I know, it's still, things are just going along the plan. I think they swept the Reds in a series. So anytime you do that, LA De La Cruz kind of the golden boys of baseball right now.
I'm not sure where. I think the Phillies might have a game or two ahead of the Orioles now. But a couple of days ago, the Orioles and Phillies were the two best teams in baseball. Yeah. Like when the win-loss record was very similar.
Yeah, it was like a game.
Yeah.
And then right behind them was the Yankees.
Yeah, no, this is a pretty good room right now.
The Yankees, five
Orioles
games.
Are 24-12 right now.
The Yankees are ahead of them now.
Okay. Yeah.
Sixers are
eliminated.
The Phillies are 26-12.
So we've swapped. It's 26 wins for the Phillies, 25 wins for the Yankees, 24 wins for the Orioles.
That's crazy.
The Yankees have won five in a row. They swept the Tigers over the weekend.
First time Soto, Judge, and Stanton,
all
maybe
in one game.
Other person all
19 runs in two games against the Astros, and that's my bigger takeaway than the Yankees. Hey, five in a row, great. They're doing awesome. They look good. The Astros are 12-24.
Yeah, they stink.
They were in the ALCS last year, barely lost a piece, and are 12-24 and get 19 runs in two games put up on them.
They stink.
What's wrong in Houston?
Did they have some sort of amount of injuries at least to begin the year?
Boy, I don't know. Altuve's still there. Bregman's still there.
Was Verlander hurt? Not that he's
he pitched game one of the Yankees.
Okay, all right. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on there in Houston, but maybe it's finally. There's breaking a little down. Give in the dynasty, so
maybe this is a game we should start playing. Which team is currently worse?
All right.
The Colorado Rockies or the Chicago White Sox?
Trick question. Are they the same?
No.
Oh, man. I'll go Rockies.
The White Sox won a couple of games.
The White Sox are 9-28. The Rockies are 8-28.
Oh, my goodness. What are the Marlins? I mean, what are the Marlins at right now?
10-29.
Yeah, they're terrible. That's who the Phillies play this weekend. So the
surprise
the
team
keeps going.
Surprise team of the season: the Guardians. Guardians 20+ win team.
24-13.
They were supposed to finish close to last in that division. They weren't supposed to be very good.
What?
Bieber gets hurt.
The Guardians are always seem to be competitive. Even
if you play any MLB the Show, they're always in the postseason.
Yeah, but they were supposed to fall out. They had no pitching. They were one of the worst hitting teams in baseball last year and made no changes.
My MLB Road to the Show pitcher, the Guardians are a thorn in my side.
What team do you play for?
White Sox.
Okay.
Our readership demographics going, what?
MLB the Show?
All right. That's where we stand. We'll be back next week to talk postseason around the Valley and in the Daily Review coverage area. Obviously, get back into some NBA playoffs, but most importantly, please get out and support all these young athletes. This is a big time of year for them. Big time of year for us in terms
post-season
of coverage.
Stuff, no.
Yeah. David and Logan will have you the whole way through, and we'll see you next week to talk about it. Have a good weekend.